I'm confused.
No, Serene, the way it reads, you're in a car, it's not in front of you, right? It's that the programming that they produce, not that they can't be a commercial or a corporate station.
Okay, just follow it up.
It's the programs themselves.
But we speak to what our affiliates' programming is like. So we shouldn't even reference that. We can say what Pacifica programming must be like.
Oh, I see.
It's Bonnie, if I could get on stack, too.
I think what Serene is trying to say is that we need to articulate within the contractual language when we do these things, whether we're commissioning it from other stations or affiliate stations or independent producers, what they have to do to fulfill the Pacifica mission. What are those values? And we haven't defined them here. I don't think we have to define them here. But what I hear Serene saying is we need to understand what those things are so we're not paying for stuff that doesn't reflect what our mission is all about. Is that correct, Serene, in part?
No, it's like saying, I insist that all my friends enjoy, current roles just because I do. When they come to my house, I can insist that we not serve meat in my house, but I can't insist that they not serve meat in their houses. There's
right.
Good analogy.
That's right.
Okay.
They have their own missions.
But if we're asking somebody to produce programming for us, we expect that it's going to conform to certain standards.
I agree.
And fine, which is why we should put a period after programming produced by Pacifica and its affiliates. We are assuming that all of the programming that are to do on their own stations that don't air on Pacifica, in fact, adhere to our mission, is non-commercial, is non-corporate, and that's presuming way too much. We can say that
that's the thing, like in its affiliates, in other words, is what you're suggesting, Serene.
Yes.
There's a period after the word affiliates.
No, after Pacifica.
Just delete and affiliates.
It ends with as programming produced by Pacifica.
Oh, okay.
This is Teresa. As chair of the affiliates committee, I agree with that.
Okay.
So we have agreement.
Okay. No objections to that.
We do. I just have a small comment on this one. I'm just puzzled by what non-corporate programming is.
Air America is corporate programming.
Well, Pacific is a corporation.
We're a corporation.
We're talking about programming that reflects the preoccupation with profit and selling stuff to people. Those are the things that were linchpins of Pacifica to begin with. What Lou Hill objected to about programming when he created Pacifica was that it was fundamentally designed not to inform or educate or bring people together around areas of understanding, but it was designed to sell them stuff.
To my mind, it reads just as well if it said care must be taken to ensure that specifications for such programs adhere to the same mission goals and non-commercial criteria as programming produced by Pacifica.
Okay, maybe that word is extraneous. Do we want to take that out?
I think it's a little confusing because we don't have any sort of definition for it there.
Well, we talk about corporate media all the time.
And since we are talking about the Pacifica mission
I think corporate media is preoccupied with two things, with selling stuff to people and with profit. But if we want to take that out, I have no objection to it because I think our mission is clear. So if you're saying that it's overkill, that's fine, but I'm very clear what corporate programming is about. It's about selling stuff to people, and it's about profit above people.
Okay, folks, we've only gone through three.
Okay. So are we taking that out?
Half an hour into this.
Can we agree to take the and corporate out?
I have reservations about taking it out, although I hear what Bonnie is saying, and I guess my reservations is just in terms of the way that this climate has grown with news and with certain influences and stuff like that. you know, because corporate people can have ways of doing things without making it sound out and out like a commercial.
Well, I mean, yeah, Lisa, I sympathize with you, but, I mean, if Bonnie feels very strongly, we're going to have to decide whether we want to put this to a vote or not.
It's not going to hurt.
So should we just go to a vote about removing corporate or not?
Just remove it and just leave it non-commercial.
Did you ask if anyone strongly about being there? I mean, I'm willing to let it go.
Yeah.
As in remove it.
Right.
I am too. I mean,
I won't fight about it.
I sympathize with you, Lisa, but I'm willing to let it go too.
We say there's no objections on this one and move.
So let's take it out and say that that's good faith gesture, okay?
Okay, so a 1.6, no objections.
Right.
We're going to remove and corporate.
The revised language. Well, I've got the language, so.
Right.
Send the language and indicate.
Okay, so that takes us to 2.0, mission-driven programming.
Okay, there's absolutely no changes in this. You know, we asked repeatedly to send us any changes that they're suggesting, and no one did. Does everyone have this in front of them, or do you want me to read it?
No, you shouldn't have to reread it. I mean, everyone's seen this stuff.
We have it.
Pardon?
We have it. We should
We've got it.
Okay, so if no one wants to change anything, can we vote to approve the language in 2.0? Hearing no objections, the language that we have in the programming policy for section 2.0, mission-driven programming, is approved by acclamation.
Okay.
2.0 and 2.1.
Hold on 1 second, please.
Wait 1 second.
Sure.
So I had, in 2.1, I would just like to go to active language instead of passive. In the second sentence, instead of "this may arise out of," if we could substitute "this may be achieved through cultural and arts or news and public affairs programming."
I'm sorry. We're in the second paragraph or the first?
2.1.
2.1. Second sentence of 2.1.
Encourages programming.
Oh, okay. And what do you want? What do you want to do?
Instead of "this may arise out of," and I have it in brackets there, substitute "may be achieved through."
Sounds good to me.
Okay, I mean, I think there's a distinction. I'm not sure there's a difference, but that's fine.
One is passive, the other is assertive.
Yeah, I just think it's better if we use the active voice whenever we can.
I just have one question.
Oh, here. There we go.
Okay. I'm not going to go into grammar right now, but what did Lisa want to say?
I have a question, actually. And
yes,
blame
please.
Blame part of this on the fact that I've been up since 5 o'clock, and I might be a little dense. But just to go back, when we say local station budgets and other policy documents, I know this is going to sound like a weird question, especially since I'm on the programming committee, but other policy documents specifically, when we talk about show-defined annual programming goals, would be what, like the programming policy, or when we say other policy documents?
Well, for example, the race policy. By the way, I just sent I sent a copy of that to you just now.
Let me be very clear what that's about. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, since 1933, since the FCC legislation was put in place, community licensees have a responsibility to appoint things called community advisory boards, and there's an ascertainment process which involves management coming forward with their station goals, with the programming services that they provide, and presenting the policy decisions, i.e. how they budget to achieve programming goals, station services that support what their mission is. Then the next part of that is the community advisory boards or the local boards are to do an ascertainment process with the community to determine whether or not the community's needs are being fulfilled by the programming goals, the station services, and the policy decisions that are made. To my knowledge, Pacifica as a whole has not fulfilled that in a long time. And the purpose of this is to say that all of our local stations will define, in accordance with CPB's funding guidelines, what the program goals are, the station services, and the policy decisions that implement them, and then permit the community advisory board to conduct a needs assessment with the community. That's a vital part of what we should be doing as a community licensee. And we have not permitted or instructed our local stations to do that in a very, very long time. And that's a legal requirement.
Are we okay then, Lisa?
I mean, you know, we're okay. I was just maybe looking for another word other than policy documents. But, I mean, we're, you know, basically okay. I was just, you know, just trying to get a little clarification, looking at the word documents, what we were talking about.
Well, but, Lisa,
I understand what you're saying, but I was just looking at the word documents with that.
Okay. All right. Well,
I don't disagree with the essence of what you said, in other words.
Okay. All right. Then I'll back off. I'm sorry.
Now, I was just trying to think of another way to say it, maybe like a strong way instead of policy documents, you know, but like I said, we can, you know, continue to go forward.
Point of information? I didn't, Mr. Chair.
Steve?
I didn't catch one part of that. You're talking about two kinds of policy documents, one the kind generated by Pacifica and the other the kind generated by the federal government to control broadcasting?
No. I'm saying that one of the things that community licensees have been doing or have been required to do both by FCC legislation and by CPB funding guidelines is to go through a process which involves stipulating the programming goals, the station services, and the policy decisions made by the station to fulfill its mission. And then what happens is the community advisory board, which is not staff of the station, then goes to the community and ascertains whether does a community needs assessment to see if the needs of the community are being fulfilled by the program goals, station services, and policy decisions the station says it's making.
Got it.
Okay?
Okay, right.
Okay, so we're moving on to 2.1. Okay. I had suggested substituting the active language with the passive language.
No objection to that.
No, I don't have an objection. I have a little confusion about the next sentence. The local station evaluation processes should strive to identify programs and consider allocating production resources. So the local station evaluation processes are allocating production resources? I think maybe we can write that a little bit clearer.
You want to write it clear? I mean, give us the language, Bonnie.
I can't say I've come up with the clear part yet.
I'm not even sure what it means. Exactly.
I think it's muddled.
We're supposed to be doing program evaluation that helps us identify programs that create understanding between people and make sure that they get production support so that they achieve their potential.
But doesn't it go hand in hand with the fact that we attempt to do evaluations that, I mean, aren't we trying to allocate production resources to all of our shows to make them better?
What is it at the local station level that you do at KPFA or that we do at WPFW or that it goes on in the network to assure that we assign production resources to programming?
I'm not sure that it has so much to do with the evaluation process.
Well, tell me anything that moves production resources or budget resources to programming or production. Anything that you do at KPFA,
it's
in writing, that anybody can find evidence of.
It's any and all discussions and actions that are taken by a combination of department heads and program council and everyone working together to make the decisions as to which ones, you know, there ain't enough to have everybody to have a bunch.
Well Bonnie, I'm in a station that has no program director, no news director, no producers on staff, no volunteer training program, and not likely to have any. And we don't allocate money in the budget for production. The money that's allocated in the budget for programming supports the satellite fees that we pay to Clear Channel. It deals with maintenance contracts for our equipment, and it buys things like CDs. So at what point are we going to begin dealing with programming as if it was really a function, as if programs are something that we really produce? If we don't have anything in writing that supports that, how is that going to occur?
But, Rob, let me say something. I think one of the issues is the evaluation process doesn't cannot consider allocating production resources.
Correct. That's all I was trying to say.
So it should probably say, with this potential and the local station board should consider allocating.
The local station board should not allocate resources.
Should consider urging the allocation of production resources.
Can you guys hear me? I'm trying to get out of the stat to offer Bonnie some language.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
Serene. We didn't hear you.
Okay. Local stations should use evaluation processes that strive to identify programs with this potential and should consider allocating allocating production resources to help them reach a wider audience.
Very nice.
Very good, Serene. Thank you so much.
I don't thank my English teacher.
Wait.
Mr. Chair, could you repeat that, please?
Yes, she's going to do it right now.
Okay.
Serene?
Local stations should use evaluation processes that strive to identify programs with this potential and should consider, and the rest of it is unchanged.
Okay, thank you.
Yippee.
Mr. Chair?
Good job.
Yes, Steve.
This sentence needs another clause, and that should be the obverse. Local stations should certainly strive to identify and support programs that help achieve the mission.
Right.
And it should also remove resources after evaluation from those programs that have been found after evaluation not to support the mission. And that's implied in the station, in that statement. If we're going to have accountability at Pacifica, we have to consider both sides of that statement.
Steve, I'm very sympathetic with what you're saying, but right now it seems to me that the critical thing is for us to identify programming that has this potential and make sure that we do something to support it. If we say that we're going to attack programming that is against the Pacifica mission, we basically are putting ourselves in conflict with our own programming, and I don't think that's where we are. So, I mean, how do we say that without offending people?
Well, let me ask this. Maybe we should look at the evaluation one. I think it's 8, and see if there's programming resources.
Steve, I understand what you're saying, but I think by acknowledging that there are some stations that have terrific potential for doing this or that are doing it, you know, the programs that don't are going to stand out in stark contrast.
I understand. I was only being provocative. I think it's like that.
All right.
No chance to be.
We only have 15 minutes left on this one-hour item. So are we saying no objections now with this changed language?
This is Lisa Welch. Can you hear me?
Yes, Lisa.
Unfortunately, I need to leave.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you guys know.
Thanks for staying on, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for your help.
Bye, Lisa.
Okay.
7:30, Rob.
So aren't we pretty much done with 2.0 and 2.1?
Right.
Okay. And Sherna, you've got the text.
Right. Okay, so then we're jumping to 4.0. Okay, commercial programming.
Now, Sherna, I think basically you wanted to switch.
Yeah, in the original version, it started by saying programming whose hosts are defined it, and then it said it's antithetical to the commission, and I just thought that it was better to go back to that order so that the sentence starts with programming hosts are largely engaged in promoting products, services, is commercial. This programming is antithetical to the Pacifica mission.
Mr. Chair, may I suggest a simplification? Yeah, this bothers me because it implies or it can be interpreted as hosts who may not be selling anything commercially on a particular program, but in their other activities down the road on some other station or in a store are selling products, are disqualified from broadcasting on Pacifica.
Well,
that's not what we mean.
Yeah.
Let me just give my suggestion.
Go ahead.
I think it should say programs that are engaged in promoting products instead of programming hosts. We don't care if it's the host or the guest. Programs that are largely engaged in selling products are for button.
Yeah, I agree with Steve.
Yeah, that's better.
I like that, Steve.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a.
We reverse that order.
Lisa Davis, please.
I have just a question. If I understand what Steve said, because when you said programmed, and I think you said something like whether it's the host or the guest. Suppose you have somebody on the show who's talking about their book.
Well, they're on. Yeah, but they're on to inform, not to sell the book. The book exists, and that's up to the host to decide. You know, I mean, if it's of interest, you know, it's marketed elsewhere. We're not selling it.
Well, Lisa, what it will say now is programs that are engaged in promoting products, services, seminars, and personal advice that are for sale and from which a consideration is received is commercial programming, which is antithetical to the mission. Is that okay with you?
I sort of hear what you're saying, but this is just one of those things that I think you can get it into kind of like a slippery slope kind of.
It doesn't answer Lisa's point, I admit.
I'm trying to grasp that. I'm trying to make sure that I understand exactly what your point is, Lisa.
I would think with this particular section that this might be one of those things we might also want to flag. And Justin and I remembered we had a discussion. Won't get into too much, but we maybe should. Oh gosh. I'm so bad with names, because I know we have an attorney.
Corporate counsel.
Right, that works, I think, with, you know, FCC regulations and in terms of defining. I just see where we can get into a slippery, like if we have somebody on the show saying, well, this is my book, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Clarify, because anyone who does programming is supposed to sign a plugola and payola statement by FCC regulations.
That's right.
And what this does, basically, and if we change it to say that programs that engage in promoting product services, and personal advice that are for sale,
We're trying to prevent, Lisa, trying to prevent the prevalence of programs and programming where people are basically selling tickets or come to my class or do this, which is really there, no matter how good it is, it's there to sell something. If that's the case, it's antithetical to what Pacifica is all about. And it's not that the people are not helpful and good programmers. It's that we shouldn't have to have that type of thing on the air, either to make money for the stations, or to change the thrust of what the mission is, because that's basically saying, buy this, you know, come hear me do this and give me your money. And that's really not what we're supposed to be about.
Well,
Rob,
we do that all the time.
Steve, and then Bonnie.
And Serene's trying to get on the
screen. And Serene?
Thanks.
Yeah. Rob, I just was listening to KPFK, and they were doing some olive extract, and they do this a lot in different programmings. This is a product that's for sale. They were offering it during a fun drive, touting it up. The guy talked for 2 hours about how great this was, how it would treat everything. And then you send in $75 as a pledge, and you get this. Now, that's remuneration to Pacifica for promoting a commercial product. There's no way around that. And all the stations do it all the time. So Lisa's point is well taken. I did simplify it, but it doesn't really address the basic point. And it may need some more thought.
Well, if we provide promotions to people, if we say we're going to give you a book, or we're going to give you a CD, or we're going to give you something from the Pacifica Archives, or we're going to give you a WPFW T-shirt.
That's different.
For membership, we're exchanging something in exchange for you becoming a member.
No, that's self-generated, just like a program. If you get on the air and make a speech, that's self-generated. I'm talking about having somebody with a commercial product coming on and getting 2 free hours to talk about it in return for allowing people to pledge and give money to Pacifica.
But that's
payola.
Yeah, it's in violation of the FCC.
Can we not do the back and forth and do the stack?
Okay, let's go to the next. Who's next in the stack? Serene?
I think it was me.
Bonnie?
I actually think because we have gone through a round of having everyone sign a very carefully constructed payola form, that whatever we come up with in 4.0 needs to be run past council so that the two things are not conflicting with each other. And I do agree with everyone who is sensing that there is kind of a slippery slope here, because it's a little overarching, and every one of us is thinking a slightly different situation that fits this, and so this isn't very clear.
I mean, promotions are very different than a program which is designed to sell my advice, come to my class, buy my book, and we have that problem on all of our stations,
right.
And we haven't been able to develop a policy to define when this is a problem, and the reason is because some of these shows are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes, I understand.
So all I'm trying to say is when we have programming or programs that are fundamentally designed to sell the listeners on something that has nothing to do with the mission but has everything to do with the host or the program, then that's not what we should be doing. And I agree with you, we may have to develop criteria for this, but the point that we're trying to make here is that what Pacifica is about is not selling stuff to people. And if we can define what those criteria are, and they may have to be developed at the local station level. So what you're saying is you feel like you have at KPFA criteria that will prevent that from happening. Well, we may not have that at other stations.
I think it's network-wide that everyone that's on the air had to sign this.
Right.
It came down from Krigler.
But we can't, I understand that, Bonnie, but we, you know as well as I do that if we try to pass a policy in the programming committee that says the people at KPFA have to sign the same piece of paper that the people at WPFW do, you know, then we're going to have a whole, you know, local autonomy, you know, riot going on. And what I'm saying...
Am I misunderstanding here? It's my understanding that everyone at all the stations in the past couple of months have had to sign one.
Over the past...
Do I misunderstand?
I mean, signing a policy that says you're not going to do something and continuing to sell stuff on the air are not the same thing.
What we had to sign was with regard specifically to Pagola and Payola, and it was based on FCC language. And everyone had to sign it at KPFK. Programmers were warned that if they did not sign it, they could not go on the air. And that's why we may be better off going back to language that says programmers who engage on air in promoting product services, because
right.
that's what we have to sign.
Distinction without a difference.
I don't think so. I mean, if I'm doing a show that's about the benefits of organic vegetables, and yet what I'm saying is come to my farm and buy my vegetables, that overrules the benefits of what I've said in terms of why I should eat organic vegetables.
That's
because what I'm doing is I'm selling my stuff.
But
and that's not what we're about.
It's not an instructive. Do we have a sample?
Am I still on the stack?
Oh, I'm sorry, Serene. I'm sorry. Yes. Serene, you're on.
Then I would like to get back on the stack.
Yes, Lisa, you can.
Okay. With regard to what Bonnie said, that the identical form was sent around to all the stations, and I think it was maybe about a year ago or more, actually, that we had it here in New York, about a year and a half or more. So it says that if, in fact, you have any interest that and I,
correct.
It's been a while since I looked at it, but if you have any interest in what's being discussed, you must disclose it. We're going one step further in the policy, and we're saying that if, in fact, if the show promotes something that's for sale and benefits from it, that it's considered commercial programming and should not be on our air. So if we are, in fact, going to send it back for legal review, we should either go with the language that I think Sherna just offered with programmers
yep.
who are largely engaged, you know, and it should specify that it is the host that must receive the
consideration.
The consideration in order for this to be a violation, because the fact is that when we have people on the air
right.
as an inducement to people for pledge or as a thank you for people who pledge at a higher than minimal rate, we do offer books, CDs, tapes, and, you know, the discussion of whether or not we should be doing premiums is an entirely different decision from a discussion from what we're having here tonight. But I think it has to be clear who it is must benefit in order for it to be a violation.
Mr. Chair, put me on the stack, please.
Steve,
so,
Lisa, I think Lisa is next.
Right, and one of the things that I was thinking, because sometimes it's not going to always be the obvious cases of doing something.
Right.
Or somebody saying it got signed again and all these deals, that's one of the obvious things. But you could have things, the way that I see that it could happen is somebody's on the show talking about, oh, my gosh, I got this great book. The host has read the book, said, oh, yes, the book is so great. You guys got to get this book. And the things, you know, I'm going to give you an autograph copy of the book or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody could be like, whoa, you know, that was pay, or you just violated something, or the host was engaged in promoting. And so therefore I think, like I said, in this particular case, it's just good to have, you know, some guidance with this language so we don't, you know, so we prevent the obvious in terms of what you're talking about, but we just don't get everything so tied down with people be afraid to be like, oh, if I say you should buy the book or if I think it's great, you know. So that's just kind of like maybe the mundane examples of what I was thinking about.
Well, if somebody's doing a book review show and you bring an author on and you say, this is Toni Morrison and she just did her book Jazz, you know, are we promoting her book? We're asking people to read the book and so on and so forth, but is that what the show is about? The show is about, it's a book review show.
Technically, however,
So, Steve, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I'm next. Technically, that does run afoul of the statement that you're posing. Look, the Plugola and Paola statements derive from a specific situation in broadcasting whereby broadcasters or programmers would play certain recordings in return for some benefit to themselves personally.
Right. The issue is that the programmers...
Let me just finish. Okay.
All right.
Now, that only talks about the programmers. When a program plays something that's a benefit not to the programmer but to the station itself, i.e. paid advertising, that's not payola. That's advertising. We don't do either. So the payola statement does not really address what we're trying to address, which is not selling our airtime as a commercial consideration. We do that, however, and I think Lisa's right that we should not try to nail this down so tightly that we squeeze people and say, oh, I love this book. If you invite an author on because you think that author's great, then you're giving that author an hour to promote his or her book, whether it's a worthy book or not. That's the fact of the matter. That's advertising. We should do that if we think the product is good. That's what we're in business for doing, promoting good things, you know. But it would run afoul of this provision. I think we should drop.
But the show is not designed to promote something that redounds to the credit of the programmer.
No, of course not. That would be too obvious. But that
tends to be the problem that we have.
Right.
Is there a rock?
Can we move on?
Sarv?
Is there a way?
And then Teresa.
Hello. Is there a way we can send this concern over here to our?
I don't know. Do you have a proposal?
Corporate attorney and let him come up with the language.
Do you have a proposal?
Yeah, my proposal is send it to the corporate counsel, this section.
Okay.
And tell him to come up with the language.
Okay. All right.
Let me just clarify if this is the language we're going to send.
Programmers
engage in on-air promotion of products, services, seminars, /concerts, /events, and or personal advice that are for sale.
And from which they receive a consideration.
The host receives.
The language, what I was saying was, send this paragraph 4.0,
just like the way it is. What it is we're sending, Sarv.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I understand, Sarv. I understand, Sarv.
And from which
Teresa and then Lisa are asking to join the stack.
I already joined it.
Is this reading?
Teresa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Reading.
Okay, Teresa.
I am opposed to sending this to the corporate attorney to review it.
Okay.
When you consider how much we pay the corporate attorney, I know that there are some gray areas and challenges to Plugola and Payola, but if we don't understand Plugola and Payola by now, with the forms that I've seen that we ask our programmers to sign. Then we've really got a problem, and I just think that we're getting too detailed here and too paranoid about something, and we should move on somehow.
Okay.
Please,
so you have no changes to the language that you would propose.
This is Bonnie. I'd like to get on stack.
Okay, Bonnie.
Can I say that we are 1 hour? We have.
Yeah. Who was on the stack after Teresa? I plumb forgot.
Bye.
There were a few people.
Serene was trying to get on.
Okay. Serene and then Bonnie, and then can we end this?
Well, I can let Bonnie go first.
Okay,
no,
Bonnie, hit it.
No, please, Serene, you first.
Let's spend 5 minutes doing that. No.
Yeah, right, back and forth, after you, Alphonse.
If we go with the language programs, whose host, or programs which are largely engaged in promoting, rather than programming whose host, but programs which are largely engaged, and the language stays the same until we get to the point where it says, and from which the host, it says currently, from which they receive, we can specify the host.
Yeah, okay.
It says programmers who engage in on-air promotion. Oh, da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
No.
So then we can leave, if we're using programmers, then we can leave they. If we're going to programs, then we should use the host.
Yeah. Serene's just arguing for symmetry in the construction.
Right. And I was just correcting what she was saying in terms of what I had here.
And Mike, should I go ahead, Rob?
Yes, Bonnie, please.
My comment, however, is that I think that this is a case in which we really should not be penny wise and pound foolish. I think that there are ramifications to this that if we do not word it properly can lead to a lot of different people making judgments about did that person promote that and get something in kind from it, but we like this other person, so we're not going to go after them for it. And with the fact that we have these Payola forms that we also are responsible for, I really do ask that whatever language we come up with, that this be run by counsel.
Well, Rob, could you...
Bonnie, first of all, any policy that we actually pass, okay, that has a hope of passing this committee and then goes to the national board and then passes, the first thing that we have to do is vet it with the legal counsel.
But is that after it's passed, or can we sometimes look at this as using our counsel to come up with wise wording for the
Bonnie, if we ask the council to help us answer all the questions that we have in developing a policy, we can spend $1 million in about 2 months.
I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for this one thing.
No, you're not asking for one thing. You're saying that everything that we do that you don't like has to be run past council.
Rob, can I make a suggestion?
Ms. Serene, could I get on the stack also?
I want to get on the stack, Rob.
Okay, let me hear the people again. I didn't hear any significant proposal in what Bonnie just said.
I would like to make an alternative proposal.
Okay, that's Sherna. Who else? Sarb? I heard Sarb. Who else?
That's Serene.
Serene?
Steve.
Who else?
Steve.
Steve, okay. Sherna?
And then I also have to remind us that we have used up our hour and we have to decide.
Right, that's correct.
Okay. I suggest, since the program and the program directors and the general manager have had training on all of this in order to pass, I believe that we should send them the language we have and see if they're...
Oh, go ahead.
There's some kind of interference. I can't hear what Sherna is saying.
I'm suggesting...
That's a great idea, Sherna.
...that since the program directors and GMs have gotten the training from Kriegler on all of this, and they've had to train the staff in turn or inform the staff in turn, that we run it by them, that we have our language, I could read it again, and that we each present it to our PDs and GMs and see if it meets their understanding. It's an alternative to going to for legal counsel.
Ah, it's a great idea.
I don't think we're going to ever...
We have a stack.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Serene. Sarv?
If Plagola, and Paola concepts are so simple and clear, like Teresa said, then why are we all fussing about this whole thing anyway? So why don't we just leave it out and just leave it at the forms and the station managers and the executive director, and they know all that. Why are we doing this?
Well, those issues are not clear, and that's why we have Section 10.0.
Teresa said everybody knows it.
I'd like
to get
on the stack.
Everyone doesn't know it. Okay.
I would like to get on the stack.
Okay. Who did I forget? Who's on the stack?
Serene, I think, was the next
Serene, please, and then Teresa.
Serene, Teresa.
Steve was clearly after me.
Steve, Teresa. How's that, Serene?
It'll do. I understand Bonnie's concern, and I don't think she's saying that everything needs to go for legal review. I think what she is saying is that anything that is specifically addressed by FCC rulings should be carefully constructed with legal review to make sure that you're not offering information or advice or instruction that is contradictory. I think that was her point, not that everything has to be run by. And I don't think it's a bad idea to run the language by the GMs and PDs. I don't necessarily see that as being instead of legal review. Maybe we can do the GMs, and if in fact the PDs are agreed on what they think they understood from the training, it makes it that much clearer when we offer it for legal review. I'm done.
Okay.
My concern about this is not that the lawyers will find this illegal. This statement as it stands is perfectly legal. The question is whether we can live with it. I'm concerned that first this might be used as a weapon. When we get this specific, it becomes a club that can be wielded against any particular programmer. The next point, and it's even more difficult, is is that we should not go into this at all. We should have a statement that simply says Pacifica is a non-commercial, a non-profit network that does not accept commercial advertising, and let it go at that. There are enough people in the network who can point out what seems to be a deviation from the spirit of the mission without having something chiseled out of stone that mandates. It's like mandatory drug sentences. The guy has a joint, you put him away for 20 years because it's mandated. I don't think that's
happening, though, Steve. Do you?
Who are you putting away for 20 years? Excuse me? No. In New York, you have mandatory drug sentences that put away minor drug offenders for longer than they put away rapists.
Steve, we have people on all of our stations that are blatantly selling stuff, services,
it's personal advice,
stuff like that, and it creates controversy at the local station level. It degrades how we're fulfilling the mission, and we have no way of dealing with it.
We do.
Let me answer. The
program director and or the manager and or the executive director steps in and say, look, we don't feel this meets the spirit of Pacifica. Either change it or get out. That's how it should be handled. It should not be chiseled out of stone in a written document this way.
Okay. What basis do they use for saying this is inappropriate? What do they cite? What's in the bylaws? What's the policy that they cite? There is nothing in the bylaws that deals with this.
It goes through the evaluation process station. If the program director, the manager, the various people who are going to be under this decide this really doesn't fit our mission, then suggest language
that says this is how we identify commercial programming, because we clearly have it. So we ought to be able to define the difference between commercial programming and programming that fulfills the Pacifica mission. What is it?
You can't. It's a diapason. It's a curve, and you can stop anywhere on that curve. You have to have a consensus that decides where to stop at this particular program.
Steve, I don't think so, because I think the issues are we've got people that are selling tickets. They're selling, this come to my class. It's clearly commercial programming. We have it on all of our stations, and we don't know what to do about it.
There are so many instances. Look, we have on WBAI somebody who sells tickets, Norman Rothberg, whatever his name is. It brings in $200,000 or $300,000 a year to the station. He sells the tickets. I don't think he makes any money out of it. But clearly, it's a benefit to the theaters. It's a benefit to the performers, and it's a benefit to the station. It's clearly a commercial transaction. Do we want to get rid of it? I don't think so. I think it does.
But it's not benefiting Mr. Rothenberg. He's not selling his services.
That's not what this statement does.
It is. I'm sorry, to clarify, we went back to the language that says programmers, not programs.
He may benefit by having the theaters like him a lot and do favors to him because he disposed of so many tickets. You laugh.
No, Steve, I'm really not. I think this is an important issue, and I think we need to be able to achieve some clarity, because I think it's very distinct from payola and plugola, and it's a problem that we have on all of our stations, and it engenders a lot of hostility, and I think we need to come down with some kind of a Occam's razor to make a decision.
Chair, can we decide if we're extending and for how long?
Can we decide how long this whole meeting is going to take?
Already 15 minutes past.
This is Teresa. I'm on
our hour.
Well, we know we're going to have to meet again.
This is pretty long.
I don't think we're making progress here.
No, we aren't.
You adjourn and come back next time.
But we're being very civil. I think that's progress.
That's a good sign.
That's a start.
I think that one of the things that we can consider is stopping our progress through the programming policy and taking up the issue of nominating people to review the program directors or the network program coordinators' positions and to entertain Greg's discussion about what his program proposals are.
And I suggest, though, that, I mean, it will take us 1 year to get through this unless people read it and in advance send in every conceivable objection and suggestion they have. So we aren't starting from scratch each time.
But sure enough, people raise some extra information, then people get other
I know
ideas.
They did, and they why can't they read it and raise it?
They can read it, but you're also dependent on other people's benefit also. That's why we have discussions.
Right.
It's not just one person.
Sarvan, that's the basis for starting the discussion, at least.
The basis of starting, people are fairly clear here, but they are different opinions, and I think they have valid reasons to.
Can I say something that happens? Because, I mean, I read this, you know, and you try it, and suddenly you get on the call, and
you hear it.
In a way you never heard it before, and you're like, wait a minute, you know. So
yeah.
I know for myself speaking, that's what happens sometimes. Because I do, I'm like, oh, let me read it, and you just, something comes through, you hear something in a way that you did not see it before. So.
Well, I think Sharon is just suggesting that you write it on, and you write it down and slip it to us.
Right, no, I understand that.
Something new will come up. But
I'm just saying why sometimes it doesn't. Like, because I know with my, I'm like, whoa, well, I just, you know, that's one of the things that, for me, that happens sometimes.
Okay. Do we want to get onto the issue now of the nominating people to work with Phil Osegueda in evaluating the network programming coordinator position?
Yes. Can I make a suggestion that instead
Steve
of nominating,
Brown, yes.
Yes, instead of nominating people, we ask if there's anyone interested in holding this position?
Sure. Are there candidates for this position?
I'd like to nominate Bonnie Simmons.
Sarv nominates Bonnie.
I would like to nominate. Everybody's going to nominate.
Okay, Sarv nominates Bonnie. Okay, Lisa?
I'm going to nominate Serene Roberts.
Okay.
I'm sorry, point of interruption.
Hopefully she won't kill me.
Who's this?
This is Serene.
Don't kill me.
Serene Roberts,
no,
do you accept
I'm
the
sorry,
nomination?
No. How did we get to nominations? We're supposed to be discussing how many. And what...
Well, that's right.
Did I miss something? I'm trying to leave the building, and people are talking still.
At this point, the executive has asked us for one nomination, and what we've agreed is that in our discussions with Greg, subsequent to this meeting, we'll talk to him about the process and why it should be more or less and so on and so forth. But why
revisit it when he's on the phone with us now and we can just briefly address it?
Because we're not going to get... Because it's going, we're not going to be able to resolve our business.
We don't know that it's going to be long, or he may have by now understood the point and wants to say, okay, how about three of you or whatever. We want to make sure he has that opportunity.
We also have other items on the agenda, and we haven't been able to transact any of our business with that degree of rapidity.
What can we hear from him?
Sure, we can hear from him. But let me take the rest of the stack. Teresa?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to hear Greg Gumma state what his plan is for this committee and what his logic is. And then I'd like the committee to perhaps discuss this for maybe 5 minutes, or maybe we could have two pro and two con. You know, whether we'll just have one person or not. I don't know. I'm not quite sure if the ED says he only wants one person, whether we just accept that. So I'd like to have that discussion, and then I think the committee ought to take a vote that we endorse the one candidate, or if he says, you know, two candidates, then we'll endorse it and move forward so we can get this done tonight.
Greg, could you talk to us briefly about what you anticipate in terms of getting candidates from the programming committee to help you review the applicants for the network programming coordinator slot? Thank you.
Sure. Let's start with how...
I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt, but it's actually broader than that. I thought you wanted to...
Serene, I'll address it in a broad way. How about that?
Go for it.
Okay. You have to begin by understanding how every other national staff member has been hired for years, which is the fact that finance staff, the affiliates coordinator, and all other national staff are hired by one person, the executive director. Now, I did not develop that. I was not here. That happens to be procedure. That's the way it has been done. Now, when this job came along, it became apparent to me that the board viewed it differently than other jobs, okay? And that was very apparent because of the discussions about program policy, and also because they asked to review the job description, which they had not done with other job descriptions, including, for example, the National Technical Director or the Human Resources Director or any of the other jobs that exist in the national organization. And so I decided unilaterally that rather than hiring this person unilaterally, which I am completely empowered to do, I wished to get input from a variety of people. The first group I went to was the managers. I did that a number of months ago, in fact, when I realized this job was coming up. And we had a discussion about this job. They gave me input into the job description. Your policy, in fact, forms the basis of many of the points in the job description, the earlier draft of your program policy. And I asked them to nominate one of their number to help me to review the applicants. I didn't ask them to select more because this is managers, because ultimately I have to make this decision and I wanted to get a manageable group together. It's not a formal committee in any sense of the word. It's not even a formal search committee. It is simply a group of advisors that I would like to have involved in reviewing all the applicants and telling me which ones they think are the best. And then we'll use Phil and Althea to schedule the interviews and also, you know, the questions that should be asked. But let's be clear. I'm under no obligation to even form a committee. And the reason I asked for one person rather than two is I'm simply trying to involve different constituencies, a member of the PNB, a member of your committee, a general manager who I'm not really even sure which one that will be. It might be actually Eva Georgia, a program director. It might be Ernesto. We're going to ask people whether they're willing to do this. And it's basically my initiative. I haven't been asked to do this by anybody, nor am I obligated to do it. So at least you understand the context. You're now asking me to have more than one member of your committee. I have to think about that. I think you're assuming that you have certain rights that you actually don't have. I don't mean to be rude to you, but, that's just the way it is now. If you don't like it that way, then, you know, have the PMB change it. But the day in which I can't actually hire a team of people to work with me without going through a committee process for every hire is probably the day that I'll resign because, you know, you can't run something as an executive unless you have a team that you can work with. And I actually will vigorously defend my right to at least have a few people around me that I really trust. That said, I really want your expertise, and I believe that you should be able to trust one of your members to represent you fairly.
Can I get on the stack, Rob? It's Sherna.
Yeah, I don't, who else is on the stack at this point?
Serene.
Okay.
I actually have a point of information, and then I'd like to be on the stack after whoever's on the stack.
Why don't you share your point of information with us, and then we'll get Sherna, and then you can...
I just had a little transmission problem. I heard Ernesto mentioned by name. I didn't hear who might have been mentioned before him.
Eva Georgia, as a station manager. These are outreaches that I don't know whether they've accepted or not. I asked Phil to contact them and ask them whether they were willing.
So you've asked Eva and Ernesto so far?
I don't know that I've asked Phil to ask them. I don't
know
if he's done it yet. I couldn't tell you the answer to that.
Okay.